1-286. Footnote. My flight expressed by the phosphine graphics was a movement faster and faster through cosmogenic entropic time, ending in exhaustion and then the enantiodromia of entropic time, which had reached infinite velocity and infinite fragmentation, splitting, which is to say, the dialectic into negentropic time or synthesis, reintegration. Hence, I saw Valis, the universe pulled through infinity inside out to freeze. This was 374. My exegesis was entropic cosmogenic time resuming, speeding up faster and faster, splitting, fragmenting farther and farther. Finally, it too ended in infinite velocity and infinite fragmentation. Creativity expressed as ever newer and quicker theories. It ended in exhaustion, and then the enantiodromia of entropic time, the dialectic of my thoughts into negentropic time, and another reintegration. This was 111780. Only this time I did not see Valis world, not God as I supposed. There was a theophany, and I was in the presence of God and God's loving kindness, whereupon he explained everything to me. So events leading up to 374 and my experience with Valis had a parallel in the dialectic of my exegesis leading to 111780 and the theophany of the Christian God of love. The common ingredients of the two flights were the cosmogenic entropy, splitting dialectic flight itself until infinite velocity, time, and fragmentation space were reached, then exhaustion, then enantiodromia into negentropic time and freeze, reintegrational of, so to speak, Prajapati. But then comes a totally different outcome. Note. Prajapati is a primal Vedic deity, lord of animals and protector as well of the male sex organ. End note. 1. 374. Valis, which is world properly seen, morphological arrangement, growth and perfection and self-completion in negentropic time, the entropic flux universe pulled through infinity, i.e. inside out, compared to 2. 111780. The Christian God in theophany, who is other than world, who is transcendent, what I thought I had seen in 374. The summation combining of the two is 1. An acute knowledge of world based on 374 and the exegesis arising out of that experience. 2. Direct knowledge of God and God's nature based on the above elements. So that 374 led to the exegesis, which although it was a loss of negentropic integrative time and a resumption of cosmogenic entropic time, did lead, due to the infinite speeding up of time and the infinite breaking down of space until exhaustion set in, to the theophany I had supposed I had already had. Now it is possible to see how Mary Jane fitted in. It added the final push to the dialectic in me. My exegesis, in other words, as preceded 374, my thinking, so that it reached infinite speed and infinite space, exhausted itself, and again, as before, enantiodromia set in. Note. Not surprisingly, Philip K. Dick scholars have been keen to defend the author against the popular and also understandable stereotype that he was just a druggie. It's true that Dick gobbled pills and drank amphetamine shakes. His psychedelic use, though infrequent, was also important, as was the nitrous oxide trip at the dentist's office that revealed Valis as an arborizing, reticulating vine. Here, the quaint reference to Mary Jane, marijuana, reminds us that just as speed amplified his productivity, so too did cannabis amplify his visionary capacity, both on and off the page. For Dick, cannabis served as an engine of creative perception. But like all visionary drugs, it also staged a visionary paradox that lies at the heart of the exegesis and much of Dick's fiction. Whatever freedom and sublimity is on offer, requires a passive submission to perceptual machinery. Drugs can push the mind toward infinite speeds and meditative slownesses. But they also, like Valis itself, possess their own alien logic, the arborizing chains of associations that striate the exegesis, and that cannabis and other drugs insistently multiply, may just as readily bind as liberate. ED. End note. This enantiodromia did not have to do with world, however, but had to do with the human intellect striving to find God, futilely. Futilely, until the last great enantiodromia occurred, and God took the field to block the dialectic of my thinking himself, and thus revealed himself. So there is a striking parallel, a logical structural parallel, between 374 and 111780. But in another, more profound respect, the two are mere opposites, since the first is a vision of world, which I thought was God, yet it was not, and so it yielded no knowledge directly about God, but only inferential knowledge that he existed and that he had saved me, in pronoia, and the second is a genuine theophany. When one realizes that world and God are wholly other to each other, Satan rules world, then this mere opposite situation can be appreciated. Let me add, too, that total revelation about world does not yield knowledge of God. God entered when I became aware that my theorizing was carrying me into an infinite regress, which is to say, when I became exhausted, at which point enantiodromia occurred, intellect had proven futile, and yet, paradoxically, it had led to God, but due to God's volitional initiative, his, as I call it, taking the field, which is an inbreaking by the divine. The circumstances under which the theophany occurred, I gave up on the exegesis and kicked back and massively turned on, are not capricious causes, but follow the logic of the dialectic along several axes. This shows the hauntingly eerie paradoxical, almost seemingly whimsical or playful nature of enlightenment. It comes to you only when you cease to pursue it, when you totally and finally give up. Another way of putting this is to say that the answer lies in the least likely place, where you are least likely to look. This is what gave rise to Zen. Yet emerging from this maze of paradox and mirror opposites of seeming of infinite change, here, finally, is the answer I sought, the goal I sought. And it is where I started from back in high school in my physics final, when I prayed to God, the Christian God, who was always there, leading me to him. My guess in VR, that it was Yahweh, was correct. But it wasn't a guess. It was what the AI voice told me, always faintly and distantly, but clearly. The AI voice pointed the way to the truth. It knew the answer from the beginning and spoke in the spirit of God, Ruah. Through it, I figured out that Valis was not God, but reality perturbed by God. I knew then that I had not found God after all. My great discovery, then, was not in knowing what I had found, but facing the fact of what I had not found, the very thing I was searching for. Ironies abound, but the playfulness ended in infinity, exhaustion, and the great reversal. The God was reached, and the journey did not begin in 1974. It began in high school during that physics test, when I first heard the AI voice, 35 years. 1.279. In 374, when I saw the second signal and Valis, I saw world from a highly advanced standpoint, but it was still world. Yesterday, I, on the other hand, knew God, and he was wholly other than world and transcendent, and not complex, and not material, and not in process. There is no dialectic in him that has to do with time, flux, change, growth, perfection, completion, something like an organism. He is not seen by the eyes in world or as world. The Jews and Christians are correct, and he has a personality, which Vallis lacked. Vallis was machine-like, computer-like, an evolving mechanism, like a clever artifact. Intricate and growing more intricate.
Gott ist ein lieber Vater überm Sternensalz.
I found him to be a person like myself, with personality and love and simplicity. He was not involved in world, pantheism. He manifested himself to reassure me. It is only a little pain that we feel now here in world, nothing compared to the bliss to come, of which he gave me a little that I might see how it would be. And he was no foreign God, but the God of my fathers, our own God. What he wills is. He simply wills it. This is simple. There is no mechanism, no complexity. Vallis is the world properly seen, as if from outside, from an objective standpoint, outside space and time. But still world, with all its history preserved in it, and advancing through its growth stages via the dialectic. It, Vallis, is simply reality. But that is other than God. When I saw the glint of color in the alley and the rippling of the weeds, I saw the edge, the end of creation, but not the beginning of God. I saw him not. But there is nothing to see, because he is not physical. All that happens, he either wills, ordains, or allows. I think 374 was something I did vis-a-vis world that did not involve God. It involved world and information, but it was physical. I am the doubt. God allows it, but it is satanic and rebellious. It is Satan, the accuser of God's handiwork. Satan in me as rebel questioning reality under the guise of epistemological inquiry. It is hubris and intellectual arrogance, yet God allowed it. It was, has been, blasphemy. World, which I questioned, came back at me in a subtle form. The subtle serpent, world as Vallis, which I then took to be real. And so fell even more under its dominion than any average Christian is dominated by world. Vallis is world as Satan's kingdom, subtly disguised in such a way as to fulfill my personal individual preconceptions about God. This is why 374 resembled Ubik and Ubik. It was my own preconceptions and theology fed back at me to ratify them. This is world's, Satan's victory, this great intellectual subtlety. World as it normally appeared was not complex and elusive enough to satisfy me, so Satan obliged, with world that would satisfy me emotionally and intellectually, and in doing so, burned me with the hell labor of this exegesis. I have sinned in this exegesis. It is one vast edifice of hubris, of Satan in me questioning and accusing. And I finally began to realize it. I prayed to be delivered from it. 374 was some vast enantiodromia in which I pulled reality inside out, used up, and hence froze time. Saw the past acts, and the future, the second signal. So it was a great feat. But it was still reality, epistemology, and not even metaphysics, and no theology. World rightly seen, but not God. 1.293, November 24th, 1980. The arguments for Vallis being the cosmic Christ are not conclusive, but they are compelling. I call my own attention to the typed pages of 11-16-80, which preceded by only a short while the theophany of 11-17-80. They were, in fact, the last thing I wrote before the theophany. 1-301. Strange to say, when I look back to 11-17-80, what seems to me now the most proof that it really was God is not so much the bliss, but the distinct individual personality with its intense love, the distinctness, the uniqueness, the individuality of the personality. I could then and still can imagine what he would look like were he physically visible, an old man in a robe, very old, very dignified and wise, but most of all, loving and kind and gentle, yet firm, very firm. But not as he is usually pictured. Not a patriarch in the usual sense, more perhaps like a magician in contrast, though, to say, Gandalf, much darker, gray and brown and black, in shadow, yes, in shadow, like Michelangelo painted him in his creating Eve, yet not so, but close to it. Not heroic, as Michelangelo painted him, and not Hebrew, more supernatural, really sort of physical, not spiritual. Yes, physical and supernatural. Not a king or a patriarch, all dark, like a druid or humanist, learning. Not classical, like a tree or a scholar. I know, like a book. Hence, made of parchment, tree, branches, paper, cloth. He was not a type like the wise old king, not an archetype, not like a statue. He was an individual, not man, but a given specific man, in contrast to sort of Platonic eidos. It was as if the universe had been created by one given specific individual man. Book, robe, tree, gray, brown, dark shades and fabric. There was nothing generic about him. No, so to speak, DNA, no latency, all was actualized and distinct, as if you had gone from the physical, material realm of specifics to the Platonic archetypal, and then back to the specific man, like a complete circle. Strange. He was like all ontogeny, as if a wise old scholar, a sage, had conjured up creation. Not God, as we normally think of him, but a scholar of love and tenderness, but of vast learning. Again, I see a book. 1.303. But there were elements about him not found in man or men as I have experienced them. Specifically, infinite love, agape. Not agape greater than I have ever known, but infinite. And from it stems absolute theodicy, and, for us, infinite bliss. I might also add that infinite kindness was contained in this infinite agape, but, I would think, that is due to the nature of agape. It cannot be separated from it. Something I already knew about agape. My story notes for the Ballantine Collection. Here I see my earliest and really inadequate definition of agape as worry. By that I meant and mean concern for that which by definition is not you, that which is independent of you, having its own ine. This is what you cherish due to your agape, the integrity of the ine of the other creature. You offer it life. Note. Dick focuses on agape, a Greek term for total love, as a guideline for navigating those realities that are enmeshed with our thoughts about them. Agape calls us to cherish beings for what they are and for nothing else. Over and over, Dick insists that his monistic vision is not pantheism, for his vision depends upon the very difference between self and other, world and the divine, that makes agape possible. Non-dualistic in its essence, agape acts like a kind of mantra, whose very utterance makes us quiver or stridulate in a vibrational intensity of self-other interaction. Agape makes us say it out loud, act like a fool, not knowing what is up or down, inside or out. It welcomes what Dick elsewhere calls the integrity of the ine of the other. Does Dick offer Valis, the ultimate other, this integrity as well? Perhaps the exegesis could be seen as a cherishing of the ine of Valis, an act of radical love. Dick offers life to Valis in the exegesis, and this agape extends to the world itself. R.D. End note. 1.309. It is a good thing that earlier in my exegesis I realized that I had a surd left over, because that surd is the God I experienced in 11-17-80, viz. When perturbed world was completely analyzed, there was something left over that was not world, the glint and riffle in the weeds of the alley, the glyphs of God.